And now we bring you Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships. Today we're continuing to look at our topic, Facing Family Trials. The Bible teaches that there are many reasons for the pressure of trials in our lives. On the broadcast this week, I'm looking at these reasons and discussing the way in which we ought to respond to these trials. Your response is important because the way that you respond will affect your relationship with the Lord, and it will affect the way that your family responds to trials as well. If you respond properly, you strengthen the bond that ties you to the Lord, and you set a good example to teach your children how they should respond to problems. But if you respond poorly to trials, then you weaken the bond that holds you to the Lord, and you set a poor example to your children, teaching them to respond improperly to trials in their own lives. One of the most common reasons for trials in the life of a believer is the presence of sin in his life. God is very faithful as our Heavenly Father. When His children allow sin to dominate them, He punishes them. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12 teaches this by saying, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." The Lord told the Apostle John in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Because God is God, He knows when we sin. And because God is our Father, He loves us too much to allow us to continue in that sin. And so He chastens us for our good. You'd punish your child if he did wrong, wouldn't you? You know that punishment is necessary in order to train your child, in order to teach him that he needs to live by the standards of the family. In the same way, God punishes you for your sin to teach you to live by His standards. The principle is clear in the Word of God. Job 4:8 says, "I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 expresses the spiritual principle very clearly. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now let me make it clear that all of the trials of life are not because of sin in your life. There are at least four other reasons for calamities. So when someone in your family or someone at church or some friend has an unexpected difficulty in his life, don't mentally accuse him of sin. That may not be the problem at all, and if it is, it's not your place to be accusing him. But at the same time, when trials happen in your own life, ask the Lord if sin is the problem. It may be that some sin has crept into your life that the Lord wants out. And to help you see that problem, He's allowed some form of judgment to chasten you. It may be sickness. It may be a financial reverse. It may be pressure over some problems that you face. But whatever the trial, ask the Lord to show you the reason. And if it's your sin, He'll show you where the trouble lies. Then you can repent, asking His forgiveness and make a fresh start again. If He doesn't reveal anything, don't keep looking, trying to uncover some fault that doesn't exist. Rejoice that your relationship with the Lord is a good one and go ahead and deal with the trial as though the cause was one of the other reasons that I'll be discussing this week. Remember, your response to trials will affect your relationship with the Lord, and it'll affect the way that your family responds to trials in their lives. Make certain that you respond in a godly way, a way that will build up your own relationship with God, and will help your children respond properly as they also face trials in life. You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.